Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
There are certain places in the United States, and particularly in the South, known worldwide for their food traditions. Louisiana's Cajun jambalaya, Memphis's barbecue, Georgia's shrimp and grits. Appalachia isn't usually on that list, but a recent event in Hindman, Kentucky, set out to change that and to put the region on the map as a unique location in American food traditions. WMMT's Sylvia Ryerson has this report on the inaugural gathering of the Appalachian Food Summit, titled Seeds and Ancestors.
Ronnie Lundy is a renowned Southern food writer and native of Corbin, Kentucky, and was one of the event's lead organizers. As she recalled in welcoming the crowd, while working on her book titled Chuck Beans, Stack Cakes, and Honest Fried Chicken, The Heart and Soul of Southern Country Kitchens, she asked many of her interviewees from Appalachia what their favorite food was growing up. The overwhelming answer? Wilt lettuce. And while today, in other parts of the country,
you know, you might not be able to convince the person in the kitchen that it was a good idea to pour hot bacon grease on little tender greens. But as we all know, it's not only a good idea, it's sacred. So
the day-long summit brought together a diverse crowd of Appalachian farmers, chefs, foragers, food advocates, consumers, and scholars. But everyone, it seemed, shared this sentiment. And as Lundy outlined the goals in bringing everyone together,
we are mostly here to break bread and talk to each other, to find out what we're doing across the Southern Appalachians in terms of food and foodways, and how that can help us not only understand where we are, but stay where we are in a sustainable, growing, beautiful fashion, and move into the future.
Homegrown beans are an essential part of mountain cooking, and many families have passed their seeds down for generations. Bill Best of the Sustainable Mountain Agriculture Project in Berea, Kentucky, has gained global recognition for his practice of heirloom seed saving, and as he shared with the audience,
the way I got started in this was 51 years ago. I was busy planting my first garden, and for the first time in my life, I had ordered seeds from a seed catalog, and I didn't have a clue that the beans would be as bad as they were, or as tough as they were. Product of modern plant breeding, Blue Lakes. And so, in keeping with my tradition of letting the seeds fully fill out the hulls, what we in the mountains call full beans, I let them get full, only to realize that there was no way I could break them. These were no longer snap beans. They were tough as nails. I could very easily have let them dry a little bit and made sandals out of them. Anyhow, I complained bitterly to my mother about my tough beans. And she said, well, I can solve that problem. And so she went to her collection and gave me several varieties of her beans, which were just simply called old-fashioned beans at that time. I don't think they were actually started being called heirlooms until maybe in the 80s when Seed Savers Exchange came into being.
Best passed around small packets of some of his bean seeds from close by.
And this is a beautiful fall bean from not from this general area right here. And I would like to mention that the heirloom beans are most of them named after women, because most of the seed savers were women in my home community. My Aunt Bertie's Best bean is known to be over 150 years old.
And for Bill Best, it's much more than just a hobby.
When the modern plant breeders and all the wisdom created a stringless bean, they actually didn't remove the string from the bean. They just spread it out throughout the hull. And that's why beans are so tough now. And that's why you have to eat them while they're young and tender. And the seed companies tell you that eat while young and tender. Do not let lumps appear in your beans. And one that's the seeds. And the protein, you know, in our wisdom, we have created a protein-free bean, just like we have created a lycopene and vitamin-free tomato. And we wonder why we have so many health problems. But I think modern plant breeding is responsible for a large portion of our health problems now, because we just don't have the nutrients in the food. For me, it's a crime against humanity to remove the protein from one of the dominant protein foods throughout the world. And one seed company even advertised its beans as being grass-like. I mean, you had to, while they were just like blades of grass when you picked them. And I made fun of that in an article that got published a couple of years later. And I said, why grow beans at all? Mow your lawn, put it in the pot. You can have grass-like grass. You don't even have the food with the bean plant.
The day also featured a panel of folks at the forefront of the region's growing local foods movement, including Valerie Horn of Letcher County.
The things that we are trying to do now and promoting now just happened every day in my life as a little girl. In fact, I didn't even know to appreciate it. So I had those things. Sunday visits were at my grandfather's house. We're going to look at his garden and there were two processing meat plants in Letcher County. I can remember going to as a young girl, and now we're thinking, can we get in touch with the USDA? Can we get in touch with someone? How can we make this happen in Letcher County? We want this.
Valerie Horn works with the Community Farm Alliance, is co-chair of the Letcher County Farmers Market, and coordinates the Grow Appalachia project at the Cowan Community Center, which supports families in growing their own gardens.
This year we have 72 families that we're working with to reduce any barriers to gardening that they might have. The goals are simple: grow more of your own food, and then sell your own food. Make some profit and some income from that. Recently we had 10 families that got microprocessing license, so that will be 10 people who will be able to make it to the farmer's market. Sell their items if they'd like. We're trying to give other support through that.
And not only in Letcher County, but across the state, support for local farmers markets is growing rapidly. Sharon Spencer is the farmers market marketing specialist with the Kentucky Department of Agriculture. And as she noted, one indication of their success is that
markets are becoming a permanent home in their community. They're getting funds to build permanent structures, to actually build permanent pavilions. In 2006, we had 34 markets that actually had a permanent home and a park. In this year, we're looking at possibly 70 new farmers markets, or not new farmers markets, but farmers markets that's going to have a permanent home, someplace that they can go, that they can meet, that they know they're going to be a part of their community.
As of last growing season, of the 120 counties in Kentucky, 101 have their own farmers markets, and many have more than one. Altogether, these markets total $11 million in sales to Kentucky producers. In 2008, the Kentucky legislature designated Kentucky Proud as the official state agriculture marketing program. The label can be given to any farm products that are grown, raised, processed, packaged, or manufactured in the state to help consumers support local producers. And as Spencer outlined, as a part of that,
any veterans that is coming back in, we have a different program as well, along with our Kentucky Proud, but it's called Homegrown by Heroes. That is actually a logo that they can use to put on their products, and it's going to make them stand out. So we're very proud of our veterans and everything that they do, and they put their life on the line for us. So that's just a small token of our appreciation of what we can do back for them.
Mike Lewis is a Kentucky Proud farmer and a veteran himself, and he is also the executive director of Growing Warriors, which works closely with the Homegrown by Heroes program.
And our mission is to equip, assist, and train military veterans in production agriculture. With how it started, it's been a constant evolution. I guess that's everything in life, but what we've realized really quickly is we're not making farmers, we're making leaders. And it's been, again, just amazing for me to be able to work with these people and to realize that There's a lot of change to be made, but there are a lot of people here to be doing it.
Change, as Ronnie Lundy sees it, will require rethinking what's possible for Eastern Kentucky's economy, and that rebuilding the local food system can be a foundation for this.
We are facing a new economic crisis in Kentucky and West Virginia and parts of Southwest Virginia. The economy that we have relied on for over a century now is vanishing, which would be coal, and we are choosing to embrace this as an opportunity and to say, what can we do now? How can we diversify our economies? What kind of economies can we create that will allow us not only to earn money, but to feed ourselves and take care of our people and continue our traditions? And food is a huge part of this.
And for Bill Best, so many of these stories come back to the beans.
One of the beans that was very popular was grown by one of my neighbors. It's the goose bean, which is known throughout the Southern Appalachians. When I first asked my mother, how did the goose bean get its name? She said, well, my great-grandfather, was shot and killed a wild goose, and they were found in its craw, and we've raised it since that time. I discovered that that same story had been told to thousands of other kids. But that is the goose bean that is known throughout the Southern Appalachians, the one that is being passed around now.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is the man that feeds them all. If you'll only look and see, I'm sure you will agree that the farmer is the man that feeds them all. Sing it with me. Oh, the farmer is the man. The farmer is the man.
Brett Ratliff of the Hindman Settlement School on fiddle and vocals. For more information on any of the groups at the summit, or work being done to celebrate and strengthen Appalachia's food heritage, look up the Appalachian Food Summit on Facebook. Reporting for WMMT, I'm Sylvia Ryerson in Whitesburg. Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.